Girl, you got some tea?
Girl, with the honey and the sugar.
Nah, we gonna need some wine for this one.
Well, wine me, please.
Hey, 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 y'all.
Hey.
It's your fave. It's Shaniqua.
And it's Donnie. What's, excuse me, what is I felt like Martin, y'all.
Something is wrong with her, y'all. And she is doing a dance,
and
child.
I'm doing a Tootsie Roll, y'all.
She is doing a dance.
That's because I'm excited.
Yeah, we are back to slay y'all airways per usual.
Absolutely.
So, y'all, check it out. Check it out. Check it out.
Checking.
Y'all, it is social work month.
One of the greatest months that people underestimate, but we'll get into that later.
Okay. Y'all already know both of us are social workers. Yes, indeed, we are. So put some respect on our name and credentials.
Put some respect on my name. Put some respect. Y'all know that. I'm sorry, y'all. I've just been out of control.
Look, she is doing TikTok dances over
really
here.
Am. This is why, like, we said we gotta.
Y'all gotta see her. Like, why is she doing this TikTok dance today?
So sad.
But y'all, look. So before we dive into social work, let me tell y'all the wine we've been drinking on. I'm telling y'all this time instead of Dominique. So, this wine y'all we had was called Sun Pop. Boom.
It's so cute.
It's a peach Moscato. It was really good. I mean, if you like Moscato, I think you would like this one. You could definitely taste the peach flavor in it. I think this will be a great summer wine. Like, on the at the beach, on the boat.
I concur.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it will be it's a super good summer wine. I got it from Target.
Tarjay.
Y'all know.
If you're nasty.
Right. Tarjay if you're nasty. No, but y'all should definitely go check it out. It's called Sun Pop, and it's the peach Moscato. And they also had other flavors. They had, like, apple Moscato. I feel like I want to say strawberry or raspberry Moscato. One of them. But it was, like, different flavors of Moscatos, and it was super light and refreshing. So, if you're looking for some summertime flavors, put that one down in the books.
I want. Go to Tarjay.
Go to Tarjay. Anyway, so, Dominique, what are we talking about, girl?
Well, you already let the people know that we are social workers. So, we just kind of want to tell y'all about what we do for the social work job. A lot of people think that social workers just take people's kids away.
Right. I ain't got time for that. No, I got time for that.
Again, we don't want your kids. Put some respect on our name.
Show
okay?
Done.
Social work is so much more than that. So, we just kind of want to talk about what it is that we do in our line of work. And yeah, because we want our respect. We want our flowers. Social workers deserve our flowers, because you really don't understand how
the
dynamics of it, and then also how influential social work is to our daily lives.
No, facts. Like, there are social work is such a broad arena of a field. Like, mm-hmm. You can be a social worker, like, you could be a hospital social worker. You could mm-hmm. be a school social worker. You can be the social worker that take people's kids, if that's what you choose to do.
Exactly.
You can be a therapist. You can be working in HR.
Social workers are directors of
yes,
agencies.
Of so many different companies. So, it's like, bruh, y'all tweaking if you just think social workers only take people's kids away.
And there is money in social work depending on your area
yes,
of focus.
Absolutely.
And that's with anything. That's honestly with anything. You can honestly think about the food industry. So there's going to be less money at McDonald's than there is at the RPM Steakhouse.
Fact.
Like, it's really about, you know, it takes some research to find it. But so many people are like, oh, social workers, they don't make any money. Now, I will say we despite there being areas that do make more money, they should probably even make more money than that.
Facts.
So,
in reality, like, doctors make a whole lot of money. Social workers should be making the same as doctors. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, because we are mental doctors, if you think about it.
We are.
We just don't have to, we just didn't go forth to get the doctorate.
I mean, and we but, could if we want to.
Yeah.
Because it's called Doctorate of Social Work.
Mm-hmm.
DSW, and you can go to research route and get a PhD in social work.
Either
exactly.
Way you want.
I'm just saying.
Can. You surely can.
So, Dominique, tell the people what you do with your social work degree. What's your social work job consist of, girl?
It's so interesting. Oh, I want to say it's interesting just because when I say this, people are like, what? But I love my job. I am a hospice, an in-home hospice social worker. Okay? So, I work in the medical field. But the funny thing about hospice is that it was actually created, and the philosophy of hospice was created by a social worker. So it was a lady that has stated that people who are dying should not have to die in pain or die alone, that they need dignity with death just like you need dignity with life. And a social worker created hospice, which is very influential to our lives and our parents' lives and those who have terminal illnesses today.
Yeah.
Everybody in some case even knows about hospice or have been affected by hospice in some type of way. And it was made by a social worker.
Crazy thing is, I ain't even know that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either till I started working there.
I didn't even know that. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, never would have thought
philosophy,
it.
The entire philosophy of hospice was created by a social worker. So to be honest, hospice doctors, hospice nurses, hospice, you know, home health aides, all of you guys have a position in hospice because of a social worker.
But yeah, I bet all of them get paid more than the social worker.
Exactly. And to be honest, and the interesting thing is too, is that Medicare also requires, in order for Medicare to pay for hospice services, a social worker has to be a part of the care plan or they won't pay for work.
All right, okay then, come through.
I'm just saying, like, if we're that influential, we need to be recognized.
Right, like, the fuck?
Okay, so.
Put some respect on my name.
But as a hospice social worker, just to kind of tell you a little bit what I do, I honestly just help the family in the process, and the family and the patient process the current transition of the person who's dying. So help them understand what they're feeling emotionally, letting them know that it's normal. And then with hospice, you're watching your loved one pass because most of them choose to die at home. So helping them process what's going on with the changes of their health and understand that what their body is doing as dying is actually normal. Well, every day we're dying. It's a morbid way to say it, but.
Right. I mean, but it's the facts though.
Yeah. And so that's
people
what
die every day, B.
No. Exactly.
That's was so insensitive.
No, it's the truth though. But
so let me ask you this. As a hospice social worker, y'all, I give Dominique's when she told me that she told me she was switched to this career like a little bit before my wedding. And I was like, girl, you gonna be dealing with those dying people. Like, ain't you scared? Like, the hell? Make sure I told her, y'all, make sure you leave the window open in case one of them die on you while you're there so their spirit can exit out. You don't want it to go home with you.
You sure did.
Like, shit, that was an old myth I learned a long time ago. Whether it's true or not, whatever. Everybody got their little myths and superstitions. Mm-hmm. But because you're working with families as the whole unit, right, mm-hmm. as they're going through it, how do you help them with grief? Because we know, like, there's literally 5 stages of grief, mm-hmm. right? And so mm-hmm. I can only imagine you see families in, like, probably each one of those stages mm-hmm. at some point. Like, how do you help them mm-hmm. navigate that?
So it's really interesting. So I never usually see a family, the entire family, through the entire stage of the grief process. So mm-hmm. there's still another stages of grief. It's called, like, DABDA. It's denial, acceptance, bargaining. No, it's not. It's denial, anger, mm-hmm. bargaining. What's the next one?
No, that's bargaining. I was about to say negotiating. That's bargaining.
Hold on, y'all. Give us a second. Dab, duh. Oh, it's, no.
It's 5 stages of grief, correct?
Right. It's right. Denial.
Denial.
Anger. Bargaining. The last one is acceptance.
Then what the hell is? What's, oh,
the,
shit.
What's the fourth one?
Let's go to the Google. Let's go to the Google.
I could tell you the password to unlock it.
I can't remember. And it's crazy because I remember taking my clinical exam and it was a question on it because they're all random questions and it was a question about the grief. And I used to
depression.
Know.
Depression. How do you know that it's depression?
Chad, who knows?
So, yeah. So, that's one of the 5 stages of grief. It's denial. Denial is saying, this can't be me. It's right. not me. Anger is, why is it me? Depression is, bargaining is, if I'll do this, like, when people, pretty much when you have a hangover, you'd be like, I'll never drink again if you help me get through this hangover. And then depression is pretty much, woe is me. And then acceptance is, this is me.
Right.
So I never really see the entire family go through each stage. Mm-hmm. But I would say each family is at a different stage mm-hmm. that I meet with. So some families aren't. You know, a family isn't at a stage of acceptance when they come in and they say, do not use the word hospice. So some families maybe have to put in their chart, big, do not use the word hospice. Because not only... not just that they don't want to hear it, but they haven't even told the person that's dying that they're on hospice. And then some family members that they haven't told that they're dying that's on hospice, because they have this idea that if you tell them, it's going to make them more depressed. But they know that something is wrong with them.
Right.
They know that all these people not coming to their house for nothing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like what families fail to realize is that sometimes when you don't tell a person that they are dying, you prevent them from living out all of their wishes.
Yeah.
So, but we have to, again, we're here for the whole unit, so we have to kind of abide by that. Mm-hmm. And then I see a lot of anger. Anger is typically those that just completely deny. I don't want nobody but the nurse. I don't need you. I don't know what you can do for me. You can't do anything for me. I'm dying anyway. Mm-hmm. You get those people. You get some people that's ready. She be like,
take me to the king now.
One of my patients that I went to go see, he was like, I've been dealing with this pain for 23 years. When I found out I could be on hospice, I was excited. He said it meant that the time was near. But he had been sick for so long. Mm-hmm. So he was like, so yeah, it's interesting. But you're just pretty much just there to support them no matter where they are. And just to let them know that what you're feeling, the anger is normal, the depression is normal, the sadness, all of that is absolutely normal. Mm-hmm. But when you do come to a terms to be ready for extra support, I'm here. Mm-hmm. So... pretty much. You let them leave. You meet them where they at. That's the favorite social work
quote. Right. Meet them where they at. That is our favorite line when it comes to social work. Mm-hmm. Meet them where they are, honey.
Mm-hmm. And so Shaniqua, because Shaniqua got a couple hands in that social work pot. She only got two hands and they both in there.
They really are. One, the left hand doing one thing, the right hand exactly. doing something else.
So yeah. Tell the people what the first hand started doing.
The first hand was a part of the crew that was taking people's kids.
That was the very first hand straight out of college hand.
Yeah, but, so yes, that I was a part of that crew. I was on the back end of that crew, right. I would say, the next step.
You must more so say like family reunification.
Though. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So I'll give y'all a breakdown. So in college, undergrad, you know, as social workers, you're required to do internships. Mm-hmm. And so I did an internship with DCFS as an investigator. So those are the people who take y'all kids away, okay? Mm-hmm. Investigator. DCFS investigators. That's Ooh, it. Child. Only them. I was did an internship with them and realized, this ain't for me because I'd be damn if I walk in somebody's house.
Hello.
And they try to attack me. God bless the young lady soul, DCFS, who lost her life doing this job. And so well as many others. Mm-hmm. So after that, I was like, that ain't for me. Let me figure out something else. So after grad school, I did, my first job was foster care. So after y'all kids get taken from DCFS, I'm the one who help y'all get y'all kids back.
Hello, she the one you want to know.
So, you know, I did that for a while. That was very, tumultuous. Mm. I don't even know if I said that word right, but
you
that's
just put
the
an
word.
R at the
front. I did,
but you got it right though.
I did. I'm like, I don't think that R go right there. Tumultuous. That's what it is. Anyways, but it was a very hard job, rewarding job to say the least. When I was able to get kids back home, but when you had those moments where you can't.
Yeah.
Or whether the kids are like, why my parents ain't like working hard to get me back? Like, you become emotionally attached. Yeah. And to this day, I still have a kid that's like a little sister to me at this fucking point in life. Because I keep in contact with her. In her case, still in DCFS, open with DCFS. But It's just hard, you know. So then I went from there to what we call Intact Family Services, where still involved with DCFS, but instead I'm gonna help you keep your kids at home with you, so the investigator don't come back out and be like, "Yeah, we taking these kids."
Right.
So I'm your step right before they come take your kids. So you want to be nice to me still, you know what I'm saying? But I was a supervisor at that point, and I really did enjoy, cause you know, just to see like people work through stuff, so they like, I don't want that lady come back to my house, cause and then like you hear both sides like, yeah, that bee gonna come to my house, take my kids, I'm gonna do this. I'm like, wait a minute,
you don't want to do that,
please don't do that.
Please,
we is on a good track here. Let's not even forget about her, that's old news, you know. And then I left that cause I got burnt out, just got tired of doing that stuff anyway. And I got tired of driving all over Illinois. I left that.
And you had your own case, so, and you were supervising other people too, right?
Yeah, I was because we couldn't keep workers because they just couldn't pass right them now. Damn exams.
Yeah.
And yes, you do gotta pass exams to do those jobs, y'all, believe it or not. And then I left and went behind the scenes. So now, y'all, I train caseworkers to take y'all kids. Okay. I don't train those workers. I train the caseworkers who jobs I did. So the foster care caseworker that help you get your kids back, I train them so they know what they're doing to get your kids back.
And too, to put a different spin on it, because we have to help y'all take accountability. She trained caseworkers to take children out of dangerous environments.
Exactly. That's really what it is. Mm-hmm. It's really what it is.
Because it ain't just that she taken from grandparents who guardians too.
Right. Like, it don't matter who you are. Mm-hmm. If that environment is not safe for that child,
They gotta go.
So, you know, now I just, the last few years, that's what I've been doing, training caseworkers to do that. So that's the one hand. That's the left hand.
So let me ask you a question before we jump to the other hand.
Gotta go.
So have you ever experienced a situation where a child needed to be taken from a home and they thought they didn't understand why they had to be taken?
That's a good question.
Because I know this one lady, she had told a story where,
like, the kid didn't understand why they had to be taken, or the parent didn't understand.
No, the kid. So the child was in. So the interesting thing about us as humans is even if you're in an abusive environment, if that's all you know, that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
So the kid was in an abusive environment. The kid wasn't getting fed, dirty clothes, bruises, but it was their normal. Mm-hmm. So they did all they probably knew that it wasn't right, or maybe they didn't.
I was about to say they probably didn't know it wasn't
right.
Yes,
it was just their normal. So when they came to get taken away from home, they were screaming and fighting with the investigators.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know.
And that's honestly common depending on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get them after that part has taken, by that time it's starting to set in as to like, They know the basic of why they were taken,
right,
because
yeah.
Usually if you got a good investigator, they'll tell them, like,
okay,
you know, they'll tell the kid at some point possibly what happened. But if not, like, of course I've had to always tell them, like, this is what happened. I had a kid where she knew why she was removed from the home with her parent, but at the same time, it was like she knew that she should not have been removed from. And so just a little background with that particular case, mom was like, it was alleged that mom was like doing heroin or shooting up, whatever. And the young girl, she was like 11. Like, so when she was removed, she had went back to a foster home because she had been in foster care before previously. She went back there. And she's like, no, my mother doesn't do that. So I don't know why they took me from the home. Like, she doesn't do that anymore. So it was one of those things where, like, she know what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
And she know when her mom has done drugs before and when she hasn't. And so she was, you know, she's like, no, this is, I don't like this.
Right.
I mean, she went with the punches because she had no choice.
Right.
But best believe, when I tell you, I would never forget, I was going to visit with her. And I was like, I'll take you, I was like, do you want to start doing unsupervised visits with your mom? So she was like, yeah, because why are we still doing supervised visits anyway? My mom didn't do anything. And I was like, oh, little girl, you are. Let me go, man, my business. That's because so in reality. Know why
she was taken regardless?
It was all because her mom, in the second time. Mm-hmm. Because it was alleged that she was doing heroin.
Oh, it was alleged. Okay, you gotta take it's hard, y'all, but you gotta take those alleged seriously.
Yeah, and the thing was, mom had a history of doing it before. Right. That's why the child was taken from her previously years ago because of heroin use. So
okay.
Now you have a history with DCFS. Yeah. And so now you have another call and they're like, wait, this for the same shit that happened before? Mm-hmm. That, you know. But yeah, so it she knew, and honestly, if I'm being honest, I knew too. I knew that that child shouldn't have been taken, so I fought in court against a lot of stuff. You know, I was questioned. My competence was questioned by certain attorneys, and you know, I shut them down. Like, look, I got the social work degree, not you. I work with this family on a regular basis.
I'm not gonna tell you what to do as a lawyer. You can tell me what to observe or know about as a social worker.
And so, you know. So,
you was always in court.
I was.
Damn, it was a lawyer.
Child, leave it to my husband. He swore I'm a lawyer. The way I be talking. But yeah, which is why I left that to switch departments. So that I no longer had to go to court because it was just a lot of jaded stuff going on.
Right.
But yeah, you have those moments when you have kids that's like, I don't understand why I'm being taken. Mm-hmm. Because what a lot of people don't understand is kids at the end of the day wants to be with their parents, mm-hmm. regardless of how dysfunctional that home is. Like you said, that home is dysfunctional to us as adults. It's not dysfunctional to that child because that's all they know. So if that child is getting beaten, that's all they know. Mm-hmm. But regardless of the fact, they want to be with their parents.
Right.
They don't care. Mm-hmm. And so people have to take that into account, which is why the NTAC program was, designed, so many years ago, of course. Because they understood that. Mm-hmm. Kids want to be alone with their parents. So, can we fix this situation first before we, go to the extreme?
You know what I think is hard about that? And I know I said we was going to go to the other hand. But one thing that I think is most hard about when you have to remove a child from the home because it's not a safe environment, you really don't know what environment you're about to put them in next.
You don't. And it's been times when I've had cases like that. And I've had to move a kid from a foster home because the foster home wasn't well. Mm. You know, you're like, well, where do you? And I literally had the one who was, I said, I keep in contact with, she was placed in one home and she was literally like, I could have stayed with my mama for this matter. Mm. And I was like, you right. Mm-hmm. You right, but I don't make that call.
Right, exactly.
But you right. So let's get you out this situation and get you into a new one. Mm-hmm. You know, but you also got to be, mindful of that because you don't want to keep bouncing the kid
from
around
place to place. Yeah,
that does more trauma than anything. Mm-hmm. When they, if that was the case, we could have left them with their mom.
Yeah,
you know, so it's hard, but I got up out that gym and I'm about to get up out that gym again.
Well, tell us about the gym you're in right now.
The gym, I'm in a good gym right now. Well, that's the left hand, that's the one gym. My right hand, that gym, that's a good gym. So I'm also a clinical therapist, and I love that job. I love it. First of all, because I'm nosy. And so it allows me to be in other people's business.
Right.
Like,
right,
girl, so right. What's the tea today?
Right.
So we still dating him. Okay. All right. Did we not have this discussion last week that's not a good fit? Remember we talked about, you told me your reasons why this ain't a good fit.
So you're going against yourself. So you're your own enemy.
Exactly, right? And so, in case y'all didn't realize, yes, I'm a therapist. I see clients, adults mostly. I have a couple of teenagers, but I'm phasing them out. I'm over kids and teenagers. But solely because of DCFS.
Right.
Like, it's so many things. Like, because the slightest things, if abuse occurred, if a child is on, if I'm having a session with a child and they're like, yeah, my parent beat me, I gotta call DCFS. Like, yeah. I gotta report that. And I don't want to do that anymore. Mm. I wanna be so far removed that it's ridiculous.
Right, exactly.
But I enjoy it. I help adults and couples. I love my couples. They are the funniest. Because my goal is to just be a couples therapist and a sex therapist, which I'm working towards that goal too. But it's just like, you literally helping people with their everyday life. Like, yeah. They're like, yeah, I'm dealing with this at work. So you just gonna keep letting them disrespect you. But, so what does disrespect look like to you? Mm-hmm. Like, let's break this down, you know? And a lot of people think like, oh, therapy is all about, I saw a post, right? I'm in a million social work and therapist groups on mm-hmm. Facebook. And the post was like, somebody was like kind of bashing therapy. Mm. And there was like, business owners don't need to see therapists. They just need a business coach because therapists only only focus on the past. And when I tell you, like, people's going in on that post, like, that is not true. And I was reading, I'm like, we don't only focus on the past. Mm-hmm. Depending on what you come to therapy for is exactly. What we're going to focus on.
There are certain types of therapy, and depending on the severity of the position you're in, mm-hmm. that will require us to go back to the past, because everything you're doing now has a foundation and a root.
Exactly.
That's why it happened. Now, exactly. Oftentimes, we don't have to focus there, but we at least have to go somewhere
you
gotta
ask
to understand.
Those questions. You gotta
exactly. You have to understand something. What you want us to do, like wave a wand and mm-hmm. be okay? We not men in black.
Exactly. I wish wipe this whole country out.
Start over.
No, like it's and that's so true. Like half of my clients that I see right now, we're not focusing on their past, mm-hmm. and the other half we are, depending because it's still affecting them to this day. Mm-hmm. But the other half we like focus on right now in the moment, like. How do
today,
we fix this?
What
like,
you did yesterday.
We are doing like some real life solution focused type shit. Like,
yeah.
What do we need to do to fix this problem? And then if I realize it's something that's constantly reoccurring, okay, where does this stem from? Like,
right,
has this always
exactly.
been a part of your life? Like, did somebody tell you something like as a kid and it stuck with you and you just mm-hmm. didn't know it? And 9 times out of 10, that's what happens.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Exactly. And to be honest, the only time a social worker will typically tap back into a therapist will typically tap back into the past is if you continue to show repeated behaviors that you want to work against.
Mm-hmm.
So what is keeping you?
Exactly.
From what is working against you with this situation? I think that people just really, their mm-hmm. idea of therapy is just completely skewed. And to be honest, a lot of y'all do therapy every day and don't realize it.
Facts. Because therapy is nothing but communication.
It's not. And sometimes you need somebody that isn't biased, that mm-hmm. doesn't know you, to help you see a side that you cannot see. Mm-hmm. Honestly, therapists have probably the greatest skill of being the people that's from the outside looking in, but looking in correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Everybody, therapists have therapists.
And we gonna ask those questions. We sure do, because I definitely got open with my therapist in a couple of days. Like, I see my therapist every other week, faithfully. Because, one, I don't proclaim to be perfect at what I do, so I need somebody to check in with me.
Right.
So that, or somebody I can check in with to make sure I'm not tweaking on certain things. And, two, I just need to be able to release my own things that I'm going mm-hmm. through, because it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, you're dealing with other people's problem and trying to help them fix mm-hmm. their problem and see where their issue is without just blatantly telling them.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they need to come to that
mm-hmm.
on their own. So it's just like, I don't know, but I love it though.
Yeah, I think
I love it.
One thing that people don't realize, so like with therapy, I think even though you do therapy, this is something that I kind of struggle with too within my practice is because we see multiple clients at a mm-hmm. time. So we don't get the time to debrief and erase what we just talked through previously, or even allow our patients to dump on us mm-hmm. previously. So like even when I think about myself, I had to be present while the patient was I wouldn't say I had to be present. I went to go and visit a patient because they weren't doing well, but I wanted to be there to support their daughter. While I was there, within 15 minutes of the visit, the patient died.
Mm.
So, and we're in her home. So, of course, like, she reacted and just, like, pretty much exploded. Now, we knew that he was transitioning, but right. we at least thought we had the weekend, because she wanted to call family, get mm-hmm. family over, but he died that day. It was also his birthday.
Oh, wow.
So, but I'm just going to backtrack a little bit. The interesting thing is on our initial assessment, she was like, I really hope that he at least makes it to his birthday. And he did. He did. So I just had to tell her.
Hey, you asked for this. You should have said the weekend after.
Right. You should have said
manifest the right day. I hope he makes
it past his birthday. But he made it to his birthday. Sorry, that was dark humor. I wish you would understand that people who work in fields like this, we have to have dark humor. But yeah, so he passed on his birthday. And then when he first came on services, we always do a mini mental status exam to test their level of alertness and orientation. So I had asked him, I said, do you know where you are? And he was like, I'm exactly where I want to be. Now, the interesting thing is that she was becoming so overwhelmed that we were actually going to send her to a facility that following day after he died. Well, the day after he died was the day he's supposed to go to a facility.
Mm.
So it also gives you the idea that this man said he was where he wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to die where he wanted to be, too.
Yeah.
We sent him to a facility, he would have died there. But anyway, right after that, sitting there with her as he died, and being in the room with him, and being in the and I thought about that, too. I'm like, let me roll down these windows while I'm driving to my next. But he died there. I had to call the family for her because she was so hysteric. I had to call the nurse, have the nurse come back because the nurse needed to pronounce that he had passed. And then right after that, you got to go to the next visit.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't, and then so similar to you, like right after you hear, you maybe get off the phone with a child that had a traumatic experience. As soon as you get off your first virtual session, you got to go right into the next session. Mm-hmm. And you have to go right in like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Like what you just experienced did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, like that's why social workers also, like why we also need therapy, because we allow a lot of people to dump things on us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always have the time to decompress those things because we have to go right to the next person.
Yeah.
To be there for them, to be there present.
Yeah.
So I went from one patient that just died to the next patient that was just coming on services and was very alive. So I couldn't allow that sad situation to interfere with what their idea of hospice was gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely, especially because like I do virtual therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And so like if I have a client that's sick, my schedule look like a 6 p.m. a 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
Mm.
So I have maybe 10 minutes in between.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if they session is 50 minutes long, but if this person is like really like dumping, they may mm-hmm. take their 4 hours. So I literally don't have time to breathe.
Right.
I'm
exactly.
Clicking the camera and the next person is popping up,
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's hard, but I also know that boundaries have to be set.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So like if I am having one of those type of sessions, I make sure I end my sessions on time because I need mm-hmm. my 10 minutes to go walk away from my computer.
Exactly.
Move my legs, because first of all, I'm tired of sitting down. Mm-hmm. Get water, go to the bathroom, and like get my mind right for this next person who's coming to dump on me again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. Like again, I'm a nosy individual. I've always mm-hmm. said I was a nosy individual. So as my sister say, you just found the job that enables your ways. And I'm like, I do. I really did. And leave me alone. I'm great at what mm-hmm. I do.
But I'm not just nosy for the benefit of me. I help people.
Right. Like I be like, what's tea?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd be like, all right, so what are we going to do about it?
Like, she has to find a way to enjoy your job. Like, it's like, this is what I enjoy my job, because I get to tap into people's lives. That's what your job is. Like,
exactly.
I have to tap into your life.
And then when I have clients, and so, like, and we are in an era where being a black therapist is so crucial right now.
Hello.
Like, so crucial. Like, mm-hmm. I'm gold right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm worth like $1 billion.
She the golden ticket. Willy Wonka.
Right.
On the street. Catch you if you see her. May not be another one.
Right. Like, literally. So, like, the amount of people that's like, I'll pick you, because I work at a private practice part-time that's predominantly white. And so I get a lot of clients that's like, oh my God, I was looking for people. And it's so funny mm-hmm. that, like, you ever been somewhere or out with somebody and somebody is talking about race, but they don't want to say it. So they like rub their hands so that you can know like the color, like, that's that skin color.
Exactly.
Like, too bad y'all can't see me, but and it's funny because
we usually rub the back of our hands.
Yeah. They be like, to help you out, like, yeah, that's, Mm-hmm. You know, she was, you know, and they rubbed the back of their hand, right? And so I get a lot of them, they'll be like, you know, I've been really looking for somebody that, you know. I'm like, right. Ain't nobody else on this virtual setting. It's just us two. Like, you can say you was looking for a black therapist. Mm-hmm. It is okay. And I've had, like, half of my black clients, majority of my clients are black. But most of them be like, I was looking for somebody because I wanted like a sister girl like therapist. That's like not finna just be like politically correct, but gonna tell me like, nah, you tweaking.
Oh, and I'm like, and you will get those. That's like, really? Mm-hmm. So tell me, how does that make you feel? No, girl, so what that made you feel like? You right. know, complete all AAVE, you not putting yes. no words yes. in the right order. No, yes. what you
And
what
those
you
are my best sessions. Those are my best sessions. Because they actually feel like they got something out of it. And I related to them in their language. Right. Which is my language, too. So, it's like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, so, no. They be like, but Ms. Shaniqua, nope. I cannot know.
Right.
But, and then I have to tell them, why you keep coming to me? You want to fix the problem or we want to stay here? I just need to know so I can know how to move forward. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to stay here, I'm going to stay here with you. Exactly. That's the reality of it. I'm going to stay here with you.
We're going to stay in the same place for 6 months and I'm going to get paid every session.
Facts. Right? Like, okay, we're going to stay here. So when you're ready to move forward, even some of my white clients are like that. Mm-hmm. They're like, but I want to. So what are we going to do about it? Well, you make a point. I know. What are we going to do about it? Like,
and you're lucky I'm saying we, because it's really your problem.
Right, you know? But, you know, they like to feel included. You know, they want to feel like somebody helping them on their hand. And I get that. I gotta
be inclusive.
So you gotta do what you gotta do. I treat all my clients the same way. Whether you're black, white, heterosexual, LGBTQ. I love my LGBTQ couple. Mm-hmm. They ain't been back in a minute, though. They probably finally broke up. You know, I told them. Y'all let it go. Like, what we doing here?
Yeah.
What we doing, you know?
Y'all toxic for each other.
Too toxic. But, you know, it is what it is. I love my job, y'all. Say the least, I love my job. So, go follow Peaceful Chaos Therapy on Instagram.
100%. Because the reels be real. Okay? The reels be real.
Yeah, I be having so much fun with those reels.
And so, what if you can without violating HIPAA laws?
Of course. If you violate my HIPAA laws, y'all.
What? Well, I guess I could start first to give an example. I'm about to say, what is your most, like, funny, iconic, like, story within your field? So, I'll start first. So, just to give a background. So, I have this one patient that's on services, and she battled with drug addiction. She's older, though. She's elderly. But she's been clean for 3 years. But I mean, you've been battling drug addiction for that long, I feel like the drugs still lay around in your brain. Mm-hmm. Especially when you've been doing it for 50-plus years straight.
Yeah, ooh, yeah.
So, I went to go and meet her to do an assessment. Y'all, when I tell you this lady cursed me out so bad.
Those be the best ones.
Y'all, when I say this lady cursed me out so bad. So, her daughter, and it's really an unfortunate situation, but this is one of the cases and social services and social work where you have to laugh and find dark humor. Mm-hmm. Because a situation like this would have ran many people away to the point where, like, my team was like, are you sure you're gonna go back? I said, I'm not worried about her. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have to find ways to laugh about it. But if anything, I felt really bad for her daughter, because her daughter, she had been pretty much provided her daughter with a traumatic lifestyle due to her drug addiction. And her daughter had lost a pivotal family member the year before. And now she's like, I just lost this person. And now my mom wants to come and die in my home. Mm. And she's like, but after my mom treated me the way that she did for the rest of my life, for all of my life. So I'm there and the patient is just bitching her daughter away. Like, and I don't mean she's bitching, I mean she is calling her a bitch. Like, oh, I'm tired of this stupid bitch. I don't want to be here with this stupid bitch. And, like, just going off on her daughter is just like, this is just what I'm used to. I've been dealing with this since I was 4. Mm-mm. So I this, I probably shouldn't have did this, but oh well. So the patient is pretty much kind of like bed bound. Like, she can get up, but whenever she gets up and takes a few steps, she falls. So she pretty much stays in bed. So I told her, because I couldn't take hearing her call her daughter that too much longer. Mm-hmm. And her daughter has her children in her house and everything. So I was like, Miss Ma'am, why don't we try? I said, what you name her? I said, you ain't name her that, did you? What you name her, girl? And she was like, she know her MF name and you do too, since you're over here. So I'm like, well, since all three of us know her name, I said, why don't we call her by her name? Because I don't think that you want to be called a B word all the time. She looked at me. She said, well, how about you shut the fuck up too before I rename your ass? I was like, okay. I said, ooh, you feisty. Like, because so, I'm going back and forth at this point because you're not about to scare me away. Okay, so I'm like, ooh, you is feisty. She's like, you don't want to test. You don't want to fucking test me, B. She's like, you don't know what I do. I ain't the one to play with. I F you up. I came real close to the side of her bed and I said, but you can't even get up. I said, how you gonna do something, Miss Mel? You can't even get up. So she's like, you don't effing know me. So then Miss Ma'am decided to, and I'm saying Miss Ma'am because of confidentiality.
Right.
Miss Ma'am decided to roll up, pull out the paper and the blunt. Girl. And the weed. I said, oh, please don't do that in front of me. I said, I got another somewhere else to go. I said, I can't be leaving this house smelling like weed. And she was just like, well, you see me rolling up, so your ass should probably leave now. And she was like, and don't bother coming back. I said, just because of that, because I typically only visit I have 50 patients on my caseload. I typically visit them once a month, but let's just say if somebody's transitioning, that means they have about 2 to 3 weeks, I visit them once every 2 weeks. And then if somebody's actively dying, meaning they have like 1 to 2 weeks, I visit them once a week. I told her, I said, I typically only visit my patients once a month. I said, but I'm going to be here every 2 weeks. I don't need you to be here every 2 weeks, but your daughter do. Okay, I'm going to be here every 2 weeks. So I was testing with her daughter. I turned to her, I said, you got a psychiatrist? I said, you got a therapist? She was like, yeah, I got a psychiatrist. I said, okay, we're going to wait here till you make a phone call. She was like, I don't need to make a phone call. I feel okay. I said, you don't call them when things get bad. I said, you call them before they get bad. Mm-hmm. I said, and this is about to get bad. Mm-hmm. I said, so let's go ahead and call and set you up an appointment now.
Yeah.
And so, but when I tell you y'all, that lady cursed me out from A to Z. I had to just go ahead and just laugh about it. But situations like that, you gotta laugh.
And yeah, you
people
gotta
like that
laugh.
Will run you away.
Child.
So the only white, I only got one little white lady that work on my team, but she wouldn't have been able to handle that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You gotta laugh. It should be funny as hell. Like, when you think about it after the fact, because, like, at the end of the day, you get to go home and keep doing what you're doing.
Exactly. You gotta sit here and die.
Right.
That's so wrong.
In reality. Like,
in reality, yeah.
That's like, the case. So, shit. All right, ma'am. Holla.
Exactly. Bye, Miss Ma'am. Be here in 2 weeks. I hope to see you, literally.
No. It's always, I mean, I have so many interesting moments. I'll not forget when I was still, like, foster care social worker. I was doing a visit, and so we have a policy where if the parents have domestic violence, a history of domestic violence, then they're not to be in our building together at the same time.
Mm.
So that was happening at one of our parent-child visits, and the husband came in, and I had told, he was sitting, I was like, Mr. So-and-so, hey, unfortunately, because you guys had this incident, I can't have you in the building at the same time with her. He was like, okay, no problem. What do you want me to do? I was like, if you're waiting for her, because the visit was like an hour long, I was like, you can come back, or if you want to just go chill and sit in your car in the parking lot, because it wasn't, because, I mean, we can see his car from the building. I was like, whichever one you want. He was like, okay, that's fine. I sit in my car and wait. I understand y'all policies. Like, because he knew what he wasn't dumb. Like, he knew what it was, and he knew what took place, because DCFS was called on them by the police. And so... So the mom came out, because that's who I was doing all my work with. Right. This person had just came. The child that they had together was not in the system. This was her oldest child.
Okay. But he probably cared for the oldest child. Oh, no, but the oldest child theirs too.
No, the oldest child wasn't theirs.
Okay.
But they had a child together. Oh, and this is who she was currently with. So he just comes to the business too because the baby be there and all that other stuff.
Okay, okay.
And so, so she came out. Like, we're doing this visit. She came out. She was like, Miss Berry, because that's my main name, of course. Like, Miss Berry, why you talking to my husband? I'm like, I was just telling him that he had to go, he couldn't, y'all couldn't be in the building together because of domestic violence. And she was like, you don't tell my husband, like, she started going off. You don't tell my husband what he can and can't do. You don't call talk, you should have came and talked to me, blah, blah, blah. I said, but I was on my way to talk to you.
Right.
And but I you already in there with your visit, with your son, and I saw him sitting here, so I wanted to let him know first. And then that was that. But you don't get talked to him. Like, and so, like, mind you, we're in this visiting room.
You mad I'm trying to keep you safe and keep y'all.
We're in this visiting room. And I was like, Miss So-and-so, that's policy. I can't do nothing about that. That's policy. You ain't. She starts cursing me out, right? And I'm standing right there. And so she must have stepped to me. And I told her, I said, baby girl, don't let these work clothes fool you. I'll lay your ass out.
Right.
Like, let's go. And so my colleague was in there and he came and pulled me. He's like, Miss Berry, get back. Get back. You're not finna lose your job. I'm like, fuck this job.
Right.
Like, I don't care. Y'all can hide this bitch. Like, I don't care. And, you know, so, you know, he intervened and I stepped out. Now, of course, granted, they like to say I shouldn't have let her get the best of me in that moment. But what you don't do is step. Because that's what she went wrong. Her cussing me out and other stuff, I didn't care about that. Because the whole time I kept saying I was just following protocol. Protocol says y'all can't be in here together.
She think that she was talking to him in some other kind of way.
Of course, that's what she thought.
Because you cute, brown, thick.
Of course, that's what she thought. And so when she steps out, we going to step together. What you mean?
Don't step unless you ain't ready to get shook.
Like, let's go.
No, don't step unless you ain't ready to get stomped.
Girl, exactly. And, you know, and that was that. You know, I had to walk away. My supervisor asked what happened. I'm like, look, this what happened, and I'll beat her ass. What up?
Right.
Like, I don't care.
How
like,
about this?
You know?
So I'll quit, then beat her ass.
Exactly. And so, you know, and that was that. I mean, and I think I ended up seeing her maybe, like, 2 weeks later or something. And, you know, she apologized for her behavior, and I was just like, it is what it is. Like, I ain't here for that. Let's do what you gotta do.
But I always look at you sideways moving forward.
Exactly. And, because at the end of the day, you need me. I don't need you.
Exactly.
I'm here to help you get your kid back.
Exactly.
So, ma'am, what up? You know, that was that. But, so that was that job. And I've had a million funny stories. I've had clients tell me that they were hoes. And I'd be like, wait, please don't refer yourself to as a hoe. She's like, this one class, she's like, but I am Miss Berry. Look me up in a dictionary. You're going to see my picture.
Ooh.
Right next to the word hoe. I said, oh, Lord Jesus.
She wore the plot proudly.
I said, Lord Jesus, fix it. I said, ma'am, get in this damn car so we can go. I ain't got time for this. I don't got time for this.
Girl, she said, I'm on this corner.
Girl, it was hilarious. Like, being in that field, you just hear, like, you just see a lot of funny stuff. You hear a lot of funny, and then it's a lot of sad stuff, and then it's a lot of stuff that just don't make sense.
Right.
Yeah, I've had a client in my therapy session. Literally, I called them my West Side couple. My West Side couple. Ghetto fabulous. If you know anything about the West Side of Chicago, it is its own city. And I call them my West Side couple.
It's West Side, Illinois.
West Side, Illinois is what we call it. Literally going back and forth, and I'm just sitting there, I'm like, where the fuck's my popcorn? Right?
Because they arguing in the session.
In the session, right? And he was like, because you a hoe, and this, that, and you a motherfucking hoe. You be letting him do this. And she like, and she taking it, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, she eating them words up. And he must say something. She's like, you ain't going to call me a hoe one too many times, because I'm going to bust your shit. And I was like, so I'm like, yo. Like,
and the crazy thing is that they're at home.
Exactly.
It's liable like, to happen.
Can we come back? Like, y'all went way left. Chad, the man eventually pulled out a blunt, started rolling up, pulled out his drink all on camera. I was like, okay, we have to end this session now. Bye. Bye. I cannot be on this session while you finna roll up. Like, no, that's, no.
He said she done stressed me out.
Not gonna happen. And every session was an argument. every session. They stopped coming.
Maybe they broke up.
I don't think so. It was so toxic. They was like, they didn't know how to be without each other. If they broke up, it would have been because she finally left. Because I had sessions by herself. And she would say, like, yeah, I just want out. And I would always ask her, what are the pros and cons with you staying with him? Mm-hmm. Like, what's keeping you? And, you know, we would have to, like, deep dive into that. But he would always say, I'm not leaving her. Although he felt like she was the hoe. Because she... According to him, she cheated while he was in jail, and she like, you in jail, so I'm free. It's fair game until you come out,
right?
And
right.
I'm like, you know what, y'all, that jail life got a different life set of rules, so I don't know, but
you know, and I put it like this: you was in jail, you didn't have a choice but to be faithful.
What's going on here? And she's like, but he had cheated on me all these times, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. So it's all, that's why I say I love my couples. I love all of them, but I love my couples the most, especially if infidelity. Although I don't wish infidelity on anybody. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about it and to see, like, their dynamics of, like, what that mean and, like, why they should or should not work through it or why mm-hmm. you should hurry up and get over it. Yeah. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then when you help people understand, like, because when you help people understand the idea of infidelity, it can be a beautiful breakthrough when
people
can understand it and then be willing to change. Not even be willing to change.
I would say they have to be willing and actually do the work. Like, mm-hmm. I've had a couple of couples that was like, oh, nah, I'm calling it quits after this. Like, I got one couple, they going through a divorce right now. But that was something that was going to happen, whether or not they came to see me or not. Mm-hmm. Because they had a divorce date set.
They probably just trying to come into therapy to make it an easy, a smooth divorce.
Nah, they was really trying to come see if they can just give it one last shot. Mm. But the wife was like, hell nah, I can't do this. Mm. But anyways, that's enough of all the stories, right, y'all? That's enough of all the stories. But
that's so strong. It can be entertaining, y'all. It can be sad. It can be boss. Social work has a lot of layers.
It's money to be made as a social worker.
It is.
It really is. Depending on what arena social work. Hospitals, medical social workers, therapists. Mm-hmm. Hell, even hospice. Does hospice fall under medical social work? Okay. Yeah, like, so it's definitely money to be made as a social worker. Get out how you live. Mm-hmm. Get out how you live. Get down how you live.
So get down, little mama. Get down, little mama. I keep having these song outbursts.
Don't sleep on social workers, like, because actually we're saving y'all lives. And let me just throw this in here real quick.
Throw it, girl. I'ma catch it.
Stop this damn debate that's going on between LPC, Professional Counselors, and LSW, licensed mm-hmm. social workers. So counselors and social workers, mm-hmm. stop it.
We essentially have the same.
You just took one route and I took the other school wise. Exactly. Stop it. But if we want to get petty, social workers are better. But I'm just saying, stop it.
I will say this too, though, just to help it clear, because a lot, and honestly, just be honest, I'm sorry to say this, but I never hear social workers down counselors.
We don't.
And I think we don't down counselors because a part of our job is being a counselor. Mm-hmm. So to down a counselor would be to be down in ourselves.
Yeah.
But I always hear counselors down social work, not realizing that for a part of your career, if you needed certain things, you would have to turn to a social worker to do it.
Yeah.
If you needed your licensing and there was not a LPC or LCPC available, a social worker can give your licenses, but we cannot go to y'all for anything.
Yeah.
We can only be supervised by our own, but we can also supervise you all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you like, completely stop it. Yeah, we just have
a much broader field. And that's the thing, like, we have a broader field, and we're trained to look at the whole system, and then the whole person, and then the person, the environment. In reality, counselors are not trained to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're
trained to fix. Here's the issue. Counselors have a, which I think a lot of them don't understand. You guys have a, what's called like a very biomedical perspective, which means that in medicine, it's here's the problem, here's what we do to fix it.
Yeah.
But you don't look at what causes the problem.
Exactly.
And that's what a social worker does. Mm-hmm. So we don't just give out resources.
Right.
You know.
And I've known a lot of different people that who are LPCs that, you know, have stated, like, I wish I would have went the social work route.
Yep.
Because LPCs are essentially just therapists, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're like, I wish I would have went the social work route because it would have gave them, like, a broader, they would be able to see things on a broader level.
A broader level,
you know, and, like, touch on different things.
And understand different frameworks. Like, with social work, we operate in a lot of different frameworks. Counselors and therapists, you guys operate, well, I wouldn't say therapists because social workers are therapists. Counselors specifically, when you go to school, specifically for counseling, you operate with types of therapy.
Yeah. So you know. Just stop it. We're all the same at the end of the day, trying to heal our people out here, help them live a happier, healthy life in general. So with that being said, y'all already know what it is. Follow us on all social media platforms.
Please do.
And share. But you know what it is.
We are not just a podcast for tea. So why me, please? Clink, 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 clink.